Marvelous Post-Split Podcast, a podcast on all things Marvel in the Fangirl Zone. I am Sean Fangirl-S.
I'm Steve.
And I'm Mischievous Dave. And today we're talking about Episode 5 of Season 1 of Ms. Marvel titled Time and Again. It's written by, or was written by, Fatima Ashkar, Bisha K, Ali, and G. Willow Wilson, and directed by Charmaine Obaid Chinoy.
Oh my goodness. Now, first of all, I'm sad because we're almost at the end.
Yes.
So, that being said, let's talk about initial reactions and how everybody felt this week. Steve, what do you got?
It was a good episode. We got to see Kamala's history's backstory, so that kind of made a lot of sense. And yeah, we did know that it was going to be Kamala that saves her grandmother, so.
Yeah.
Now, a good thing that, you know, the veil didn't react the way the clandestines thought it would, so that's a good thing.
That's weird. I don't know. That whole thing was weird.
Yes, it was.
I thought so, too.
Najma sure didn't.
No.
See, it work out that way. Something went wrong. I wonder if they're going to explain what went wrong with that. I guess. I don't know. I thought
they were going to be four. Well, if Waleed would have made it, he probably could have explained what went wrong. But without him, don't think we're going to get an answer. But who knows what the opening the veil will cause in Episode 6.
Oh, it's going to be something.
Yeah.
It's got to be something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Dave, what was your initial reaction for this episode?
Oh, I liked it, too. I was kind of surprised how everyone reacted with, well, it's so short. I had going around to my usual stops in neighboring towns, chatting people up, and, well, it was a short episode. I'm like, that's all you got from it?
Yeah.
It was. I think we figured we were going to get something like that anyway. And didn't we discuss, we thought Kamala was going to eventually see Aisha anyway.
Right.
Yeah. So I guess they had to wrap that up, I suppose. But it doesn't mean I didn't like it. I did like it. Yeah.
Yeah. It was curious that she actually thought Kamala was Sana, just the older version, and didn't even cross her mind that, oh, no, that two more generations away.
Yeah. It's wonderful to get. And then, of course, Kamala now realized she had something to do with that memory.
Yes.
So I wonder how that's going to affect her. Sean, what'd you think?
I liked it. I totally thought it was too short because I'm watching it and I'm like, okay, what's coming next? I'm like, wait a sec. Wait, what? We're at the end? Like, it just didn't feel like we had gone through that much, but it did. I don't know. I got so engrossed into the story. I thought it was interesting, like you both said, that she is part of her family's history, which is kind of weird. And I did like the, I can't make stars, but see, I honestly thought it was going to be just Sana somehow making it herself.
Right.
So it was weird. And when I thought she was going to meet Aisha, I didn't think it was going to be in the past. I thought it was going to be kind of in a middle dimension or something. So really, there's a lot of stuff going on and I really enjoyed it because, like I said, I got sucked into the whole story in the background. And again, Mom was pretty cool at the end. And I'm like, did you not just see what we all seen? Because I feel like you'd have been a little bit more freaked out than, oh, that was you? Okay.
Considering all the other things that freak her out.
Right. That's why I'm like, head scratcher there for sure, but I guess we'll find out in the last episode, which, like I said, makes me sad that it's going to be the last episode.
I just had a thought. I wonder if they deliberately ended this episode, this past one, the way they did because they wanted to save whatever they had lined up for it for the finale instead. I guess they thought they whatever they had in their back pocket deserved to be in the finale instead of that this past episode.
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. Well, we're going to have to see the costume, right?
Oh, yeah.
Because they've been showing the promos for it. You can't, like, not give us the costume.
Right.
Is it going to be like how they reveal the new doctor? It's going to be like the last 30 seconds. We're going to see her stand there in her new costume. I will be a little ticked, but I mean, at least we get the costume. So,
right.
I don't know. Whatever. Take it away, Steve.
Well, the bangle reveals to Kamala secrets about her family lineage as well as the truth behind the veil.
There's always something behind the veil.
Yes.
So as a news report explains, this is a new era for India because the British have finally entered their rule over the country. With this happening, Pakistan has been demarcated from Muslims and an unprecedented migration has begun as people make their way across different borders. However, with these new shifts, violence and riots have broken out across the country as people flee. And to really understand what's happening, we have to go back to 1942. That's where we find Aisha running away from a British soldier. I wonder what his deal was. Leave her alone.
Yeah.
Finally gaining on him, she turns and throws a dagger square into his chest. So Aunt Ruby was right. She did once kill a man. Yeah, I killed a man.
Self-defense.
Yeah. Aisha arrives at a village center to find a man outside explaining to his neighbors that this is their home and they should have to fight for it, and they will fight for it. His speech is interrupted by a bunch of soldiers who break up the crowd and send everyone home. I don't know a lot about the partition, but I guess they were British was still there on like a peacekeeping purpose, so it didn't go into total chaos or something like that. I don't know. Well, anyway, Aisha wants
42, so they were still prepping for the partition.
Oh, okay.
It actually happens in 47, so.
Okay. That confused my timelines. Aisha wanders away and eventually finds a field of roses to sleep in. She's jolted awake.
That was comfortable.
Yeah.
What were the flowers that Dorothy fell asleep in? Poppies.
Yeah.
Yes. Rip off. So she was jolted awake by the same man from the village who politely asked her to stop sleeping on his roses. He asked her if he can help her with anything, but Aisha is short with him, refusing any aid. However, he still offers her food and a place to sleep inside, inviting her into his home. Aisha hesitates, but that night she takes him up on his offer. The man asks Aisha has a name, or should he just call her Hungry? Aisha doesn't respond. He presses more, remarking that he knows she's not British and she's not from this village, so what is she doing here? When Aisha says she likes his roses, he launches into his favorite poem. When the soul lies down in that grass, the world is too full to talk about. What you seek is seeking you. Something Aisha changes and cuts him off and tells him her name and finally tells her he tells his name, Hassan. You can tell a little romance was building there. Some time passes and Aisha and Hassan are living together as a happy little family with a baby on the way. When their child Sana is born, Aisha spends her time tending to the little one, and Hassan knows that the newborn looks like Aisha, and she's like, magic.
I thought that was cute, and I was like, oh, wait, are we going to see something weird happen, though?
Right, yeah.
Like, yeah. I was expecting something.
Floating baby?
No.
Not that weird.
The star, you know, just a little sparkle or something from her hand.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, time continues to pass and Sana begins to grow up, but considering all the changes happening around them in India, Hassan is nervous for the family's future as partition looms. It sounds so horrible. When one of the neighbors stops by, Hassan's emotions bubble over and he yells that the village is divided and no one will buy roses from him anymore or sell Aisha milk or food, and he didn't want their charity. Yeah, guess what? You know, your kids got to eat, so
yes.
Deal with it. As a neighbor leaves and Aisha goes to shut the door, she spots a shadowy figure outside and she knows exactly who it is, Najma. Now, I didn't see the figure right away. Did you?
Me neither. No.
Yeah, I did.
Okay.
Yeah, it was just to the left of the big tree.
Now I got to watch again with all the lights off. Maybe I'll see. Outside, Najma's waiting for her and opens coolly with, so this is where you've been hiding. And right there, I'm like, ooh, so she has been a giant be this whole time. Got yes, it.
Absolutely.
Aisha is cautious, but Najma embraces her now that they seem to be reunited. They can finally go home with the bangle. Hearing that, Aisha hesitates since this is now her home and Hassan and Sana complete that home. Najma notices the pause and questions it, and Aisha explains that she hid the bangle for safekeeping and it'll take some time to retrieve it. Yeah, and she wasn't going to buy that.
No. And,
you have till sundown tomorrow. It's like, well, okay, this is going to suck, basically, is what I was thinking. We'll all go home as a family, Najma says, together, which I feel like whatever got them booted out of the Noor, Aisha is finally realizing, yeah, Najma's not a good person.
Right.
Panicked, Aisha knows that she and her family need to flee. She tells Hassan that the riots are spreading and they've got to leave now because it's too risky to save Sana. Hassan isn't so sure about this, but Aisha is able to convince him otherwise. We can take our memories with us. So long as we're together, we can build a home together anywhere. And then she decides to say this ongoing line that we've been hearing, what you seek is seeking you. Aisha turns to Sana and gives her the bangle. And she tells her, this will keep you safe wherever you go. And again, I was like, oh, is it going to light up? Is it going to do something?
Yeah.
En route to the train station, Hassan starts to struggle and asks for Aisha to slow down. And also asks why they're running away so quickly. Yeah, he was way more perceptive than she wanted him to be at this moment.
Yes.
Aisha decides to show him the bangle and what it can really do. Well, not exactly.
No.
But you always said I was magic. And, well, you get to see the bangle illuminating. He wonders why she's telling him this now and explains that he doesn't care what she's running from. Yeah, well, trust me, you probably should.
Yes.
Aisha says she chose him and Sana as her family, and that's the only thing that matters. Yeah, until Najma pops around. Arriving at the train station is total chaos, because people are struggling to get on board and say goodbye to loved ones. And that was insane, watching people like climb up on the top, and they're hanging off everywhere. It's like, I just don't feel that safe, but maybe they were just that desperate. They wanted out quick. Moving through the tightly packed crowd, Aisha spots Najma behind them and realizes we're not safe. So she hands on over to Hassan and instructs him to get on the train with her no matter what. Hassan doesn't understand and calls for Aisha, but it's too late. She's swallowed by the crowd. And Sana immediately starts to cry.
Aisha makes her way to Najma, who knows what's going on, and Aisha and her family are trying to flee. You've turned your back on us, your family, your people. Najma pieces together that Aisha doesn't have the bangle and stabs her in the stomach. I'll find it if it's the last thing I do.
Yeah, yeah, you're totally coming off as sane and rational.
Yeah. Further along the train platform, Hassan tries to find space on the train for himself and Sana. That's when he looks down at his daughter and realizes she's gotten lost in the crowd.
Why had you let go of that hand?
Don't
yes.
No.
When that hand slips out of yours, you immediately grab.
Because what are we thinking? She's like between 3 and 5 here?
Yes.
Yeah, you don't let go.
No.
My God, I want to put the 13-year-old when I have him with us on like one of those kitty leashes.
Kitty leashes. Yeah.
Trapped in a group of people, Sana begins crying out for her mother as the crowd grows more and more intense. Hearing the faint cries of her daughter, Aisha slumps against a wall looking at a picture of her family and whispers, "What you seek is seeking you, calling on the Bengals' powers."
This was very tense.
Yes, it was.
I was expecting Najma to pop up. I was like, I think my shoulders were up in my ears at that point.
With Aisha's eyes glowing, a train whistle can be heard in the background, and then 2 red Converse shoes appear. Malakhan has arrived on this same night. Hurrying her through the crowd herself, Kamala pushes by people trying to make sense of what's happening. She spots Aisha and rushes over to her. The bangle worked. Sana, it brought you back to me. Kamala explains that she's not Sana, but that's neither here nor there for Aisha now. Get Sana on the train and protect that bangle. You have everything that you need. Through tears, Kamala cries that Aisha is supposed to save Sana, just like in the story she's heard so many times before. Aisha knows better. She's okay because you're here. And hands Kamala the photo of her family that she's been clutching this whole time. Sadly, Aisha dies.
Yeah, I was not surprised prepared. By that. Yeah, I thought she was going to make a return in the series somehow, because, you know, Genie.
Yeah.
Jin. Guess not. Would you say, Sean, you were surprised that they killed her off?
Yeah, I really was. Like I said, I thought we were going to see her, like, in a middle dimension or something. But I'm guessing that they're trying to say, okay, it was never Aisha that helped Sana get on. It was always Kamala, and it was like, this had to happen this way, blah, blah, blah. But still, it's like, oh, man, that was unexpected. Maybe just for me, but I agree.
Yeah. You would have thought that at least Kamala and Aisha would have had a hot minute to at least introduce each other and find out how they're related. Nope.
So Kamala heads back into the crowd and finally spots tiny little Sana on the train platform. She picks up the little girl and tries to get through the crowd with her. Up ahead, Kamala can't hear can hear Hassan calling for Sana, and that's when Kamala realized what she has to do. I can't do stars, but I can do circles, she tells her little grandmother. Placing Sana on the ground, Kamala tells her going to play a game and starts making hard light circles for her to jump on. Seeing this, Sana stops her crying and excitedly jumps from one to the other, moving through the crowd now and with ease and making her way back to her father. Though Kamala can't get her the last stretch of the way, the heart light particles, a trail of stars, it leads her right back to Hassan. He knows what this is. It's Aisha's magic. Reunited, Sana jumps into her father's arm as he takes one last look back at Pakistan and gets on the train. It was me, Kamala whispers, knowing she'd been part of the story the whole time. The bangle begins to glow, and Kamala is brought back through time to the present day, arriving in the market where she left Karim and Najma, who are still lying on the ground after the blow from the bangle. In front of them, the veil has been opened, emitting an intense power that will likely destroy everything around them. However, back at Sana's house, Maniba is freaking out because Kamala isn't at home. Sana explains that once her dog ran away and she had a micro... Maniba explains that she could do that with her human child, but she can't. But there's one thing her cousin suggests, that Maniba just log into Find My Phone, setting to track Kamala like spyware for adults, Maniba cries.
Why hasn't anybody told me about this?
Yeah, I know.
There was a very good reason, because they didn't want you tracking her constantly.
Yes.
But yeah, I thought that was hilarious.
But still, you would think one of the aunties probably would have told her.
Yeah.
Maybe they thought she was holding on too tight.
Yeah, they must have.
The Illuminantes.
With the veil open, the clandestines try to pass through it, but the force is too powerful and they're disintegrated. What? Yeah, I love the ones like, we can get through. I'm still trying to figure out if they all seen what Kamala seen.
Right.
Or if, you know, they were all knocked out and that happened instantaneously.
Right. Yeah.
But realizing that this is bad news, Kamala instructs Kareem to get everyone else out of the area while she tries to close it before it's too late. But Najma doesn't want her to close it. She wants to try to go through. Are you crazy? Did you not just see your friend?
Yeah. I can do it.
Oh, she was weak. I can do it. It's like, what?
No. Seeing someone evaporated into a skeleton isn't enough of a learning lesson.
Yeah.
Right? Kamala reminds her that she has Kamran, but Najma knows she's lost him. She left him behind. All Aisha ever wanted, was to be with her family, and you took that from her. Don't take that from Kamran, too. But it's no use. Well, not really, I guess. Najma says she knows the only way to stop the veil and close it is by doing this. She decided to walk into it, but as she starts to approach the veil, her last word was her son's name, Kamran. And then halfway around the world, we see Kamran, and I guess it's the Noor sweeps over him. It's like kind of knocked him out for a second. So
is that going to make him a bad guy?
That's what I'm wondering. I honestly was like, did she somehow put like her spirit into him? Is this going to be really weird? I mean, it's weird anyway, but you know.
Yeah, I wonder if it changes him and he becomes her evil. Or the other thing I was thinking of was that he's going to blame Kamala for her mother's death.
Right. That's a very strong possibility.
Yeah, I don't think he's going to be very open to what happened.
Nope.
Although Najma's killed in the process, the veil does close. At least it looks like it. I don't know what's going to happen next episode, so I am not saying it's closed for sure. This is the best and worst times for Maniba and Sana to show up, rushing to Kamala. Embracing Maniba, she makes sure that her daughter's okay and then spots Kareem. And I love how she instantly went from, there was all this crazy stuff I just watched happen. Oh, my daughter's fine. Who's that?
Yeah.
Like, instant mom watchdog mode when she's seen the boy. And then she, again, is totally fine and cool mom. It's like, who are you? What have you done with Maniba? But she pieces together everything that happened and realized that Kamala is that light girl. You know, I really hope that name gets away because that's horrible.
Yes.
While she's a little shocked and trying to process this new information, Sana is happy. Our family is magical, she tells everyone, like she's about to dance. Maniba still needs answers, and when Kamala hands Sana the photo from Aisha, she's overcome with emotion, and how it happened doesn't even matter anymore. yeah, I'm sorry. I think you better tell me what happened.
Yeah.
Not that cool. Two people fell in love and created something, much bigger than either of them would ever have created alone, Sana tells them. Yeah, that's sweet, but seriously, tell me the whole story.
Yes.
Before they go home, Kamala asks to go say goodbye to Kareem and does so by using her hard light platform to walk up to him, much to the amazement and wonder, I'm guessing, of her mother and grandmother. She asks if he'll be okay, and Kareem assures her that he will, and Waleed would be proud of her. He gives her the red dagger scarf, just in case, and tells her if she ever needs him, he's just a phone call away.
Except he's got multiple warrants in the U.S.
Yeah. Sure, you can come on over.
Let's hear that story.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe he's just trying to be a badass there.
Yeah. Leaving the market, Maniba spots something on the ground and reaches down to pick up Kamala's necklace. It's broke, she says out loud. Taking a closer look at the piece of jewelry, it's now in the shape of a lightning bolt. Well, of course it is.
Yeah.
Back home at Sana's, the three generations of women sit around and look at an old photo album.
How are they all so calm?
Magic.
Sana always
is it called cannabis?
Knew it. Sorry. Yeah. Yeah. Kamala is shocked to see pictures of her mother. Now that picture came from a 70s movie. I guarantee it.
Did it? I was wondering if that was supposed to be actually a picture of her from when she was like much younger.
It was supposed to be, but no, I recognize that picture from.
At least it wasn't from Breaking 2, Electric Boogaloo or something. You know, that would have been horrible.
As Sana explains that Maniba ran away from home once to follow Bon Jovi. Kamala can't believe that her mother was once a rebellious daughter, too. Knowing she owes Kamala an explanation, she pulls her in for an embrace. Your father and I had a lot of adventures. Yeah, okay. But I will tell you this, none of them has been as thrilling as being your mother. And recently, if I've been holding on really tight to you, it's because I'm not ready to let go. And this stirs something in Sana, too, who apologizes to her daughter that she didn't hold her tight enough growing up. Maniba is finally ready to let go of the resentment she's been carrying for years and apologizes too, explaining that she simply can't see what her mother needed her to see. For Sana,
well, I can see that being really hard.
Oh, yeah.
We're Jin. What? Take your medicine, lady.
Yeah. For Sana, this is all water under the bridge at this point. Perhaps this was the journey I am intended to take, one that would bring you back to me. Halfway around the world, let's check in at Circle Q. Bruno is outside taking the trash when Kamran appears out of the shadows. He doesn't know where else to go. So inside Bruno's room, Kamran tries to relate to him. So you're a car guy as well.
That's how he knows Tesla.
Yeah.
As soon as he said that, I'm like, facepalm to the extreme.
They decide to restart their relationship. Bruno, not Brian.
He's literally stunned too. What?
Yeah, so he wasn't doing it on purpose this whole time.
Always thought it was Brian. Yeah, they decide to restart their relationship, and that's when Bruno tells him his name is Bruno and not Brian. Shocked.
Well, you know what? Come on. I feel better that he wasn't doing it on purpose and just being a jerk the whole time. It's like he was just kind of dumb. Okay.
Yeah. We'll go with Bruno explains that they'll spend the night here and then figure out what's next tomorrow, but Kamran doesn't like his plan. He knows his mother will come back for him, so he doesn't want to go far. Thinking not. Okay, new plan. They'll just stay here and figure things out in the morning. Bruno suggests getting dinner from the fridge when Kamran spots a drone hovering outside the window. As it scans him, Kamran realizes that they've got to go because he's been followed. He blasts the drone with his own hard light powers to Bruno's shocked screams, "You have powers too?"
Everybody.
Yeah, Kamran's powers hit the drone, sending it away from Bruno's apartment and causing it to fire a missile directly into the Circle Q, which explodes.
Oh, I must have missed the missile because I'm like, how the hell did the store explode?
Oh, yeah.
And I'm thinking, why, if you're chasing somebody, are you exploding places where he is? So yeah. I must have missed that part. But, yeah, if you're hiding, because you were arrested. Maybe close all the blinds and curtains.
Well, he didn't seem like a bad guy either, though. You know, talking to Bruno Bryan there. You know, even though he's got his he's got his mother's Katra now, he didn't come off like a bad guy. He's like, I'll get you and your little dog too.
Dude, right.
Well, he doesn't know his mom's dead yet.
So. Right. So
yeah, maybe he does blame it on Kamala. So who's up for some Easter eggs?
Easter eggs.
It's Easter egg song. So episode 5, Easter eggs, Easter eggs, Easter eggs, Easter eggs. Sean is like, another facepalm. Episode 5 explores the partition of India, a real-world historical event with enormous significance that is nevertheless rarely explored in popular culture, at least not ours. This saw Britain grant India its independence, but artificially imposed, tearing the country apart along religious lines. The turmoil caused by the partition is estimated to have cost the lives of somewhere between 200,000 and 2 million people, creating a generational trauma that does indeed still reverberate to this day. Episode 5 shows the partition of India with so many details matching up to the reality of the situation. That's pretty sad. I always feel bad when I see some type of diaspora, you know, and people have to leave the, you know, their towns and land that they grew up in, and they're almost like a, you know, forced
relocation.
March.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
There is a sense in which episode 5 is really the origin story of her grandmother. Sana is, of course, named after Ms. Marvel's co-creator, Sana Amanat, so the name is entirely appropriate. Kamala learns she has been part of her own family legends all along, rescuing her grandmother from the chaos of the partition. I hope we get more references to that in the future, but maybe not. I hope they do, because, I don't know, Moniba did invite her mother to live in America, but I got a feeling she's not going to make it, or doesn't want to. Anyway, in the comics, Ms. Marvel's logo is a homage to Carol Danvers, the MCU Captain Marvel has never had a lightning bolt logo. However, so a new origin had to be found in a broken necklace, one that originally said her own name in Arabic. All the pieces of Ms. Marvel's costumes are coming together ahead of the finale, with the outfit representing the piecing together of Kamala's own identity. That's kind of cool.
Yep.
Also, Kamran's powers appear to be comic book accurate. The sealing of the veil causes Noor to sweep across the globe and grant Kamran superpowers back in the United States. In the comics, Kamran and Kamala are both inhumans who were granted powers by the Terrigen Mists. I guess they didn't want to complicate the heck out of it.
Right.
The MCU has switched Kamran's powers up a lot, but Kamran's abilities look very comic book accurate, right down to the different color of the energy he projects. In the comics, Kamran's energy can flare across the entire body, metamorphosing him, and it will be interesting to see how Episode 6 uses the character. Kamran may become a mirror image villain for Ms. Marvel to defeat.
Would suck, though. See, yeah, the pod dog hates that, too.
Yes.
Yeah, I agree with the pod dog. And the Circle Q Fate is a Spider-Man Homecoming nod. Episode 5 ends with damage control drone apparently malfunctioning, firing a missile into the Circle Q. There are amusing parallels between this and the fate of Delmar's Deli in Spider-Man Homecoming. Both Ms. Marvel and Spider-Man Homecoming prove the MCU isn't a particularly safe place for ordinary people, and damage control isn't helping.
No, they're not.
No.
I know. Call yourselves damage control?
Yeah.
Causing more than you're controlling.
Yes, absolutely. Well, we'd love to hear your thoughts on each and every episode this season. Our deadline for feedback is 6 p.m. Eastern every Friday during the season. You can send your feedback via email or audio to contact us at fangirlzone.com.
Please review and rate us on iTunes and any other platform you use for your podcast. With good ratings and reviews, it helps other fans of the show find us, as there are plenty of other Marvel podcasts out there. Tell your friends, and I hope you're enjoying our podcast, and don't forget to check out the other great Fangirl Zone podcasts.
You can check everything out over at www.fangirlzone.com. Click on our contacts page. You'll find all the ways to contact us, or you can just check out all the podcasts that we have up, and you can please tell us what you think. I am super psyched to know how everybody's feeling about this. I didn't know anything about Ms. Marvel, and we've come so far, and now I'm invested in her.
Yeah.
So tell us your thoughts, your ideas, everything. I totally think I'm going to see several Ms. Marvel, though, when I go to con. I'm just throwing that out there.
Right.
Lots of pictures. Lots of pictures.
So for this episode of the Marvelous Post-Blip Podcast,
I'm Steve. You know, I'm pretty sure a Pakistani goodbye is the opposite of an Irish one.
I'm Sean Fangirl S, and I don't know what's gonna happen. Show me more.
And this is Mischievous Dave. And did I tell you guys I've been invited to Karachi to make a movie?
No.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's I'm not sure if it's a Bollywood movie or a porn movie, but either way, it's going to be called Red Dagger Dave.
Oh, my God.
There is nothing wrong with your internet. Do not attempt to adjust your settings. We are controlling the podcast. We control the squealing and the screams. We can make your heart flutter, your eyes blur from tears, or sharpen your mind to crystal clarity. For the next hour, sit back. We are in control of what you hear. We repeat, there is nothing wrong with your settings. You are about to experience the awe and mystery known as the female mind. You are now entering the Fangirl Zone.